Have you ever said, I can't do that? I bet most of us have at some point in our lives, faced with something that's just so daunting that you think, that's impossible. I wouldn't, in fact, be surprised if some of the new elders this morning wondered whether they should say yes. I feel like that at the start of a walk up a mountain. I look up and I think, oh, I'll never do that. But then there's a map and there's a path and there's a bit of encouragement, and it's amazing what can be achieved. Today our theme for what it means to be a follower of Jesus is lighting up the world. And the heading for that passage in the Bibles is shining as stars. And that's quite a daunting prospect, isn't it? Shining like a star. Although it's something which appeals because stars really are lovely. You can't always see them, but they're there shining nevertheless. The sun continues to shine behind the clouds. You don't always notice the stars, even if they're visible, but they still go on shining. They don't switch off. It's quite a thought, isn't it? All that constant effort to keep shining. And the doubts about our ability to shine and to keep on shining creep in. And what does it really mean? On these summer Sundays, we're looking at what it means to be a follower of Jesus and trying to learn from Paul's words to the church at Philippi. This was a church he loved very much. He really wanted it to grow and to flourish. He knew he might never see the Philippians again, but he wanted them to keep on the right track, whether he was with them or not. And so he's writing to the Christian community at Philippi, urging them to shine like stars in the universe. And of course, there are millions of stars in the universe. So perhaps it's not quite as daunting to be part of something bigger. When Jesus spoke about light in the Sermon on the Mount, saying, "You are the light of the world," and then, "Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven," he wasn't just talking to one individual. He was talking to all his disciples. Jesus also said that you didn't put a light under a bowl if you wanted it to do any good. You put it on a stand. And in the book of Revelation, which is John's great vision, the churches are represented by lampstands. What a good picture for a church. One of those tall lampstands that holds high all the lights of its people, and the light streams out in all directions. Everybody has a part to play. You know that even in one of those giant chandeliers, you notice if one bulb has gone out. So everybody has a part to play. But together, the church can make a good shot at lighting up the world around it as it draws its light from Jesus. I want to pick up three main things from this little passage that we read. It follows on from that lovely poetic bit last week when Paul praised Jesus' total obedience to his Father's will, even though it led to his suffering and death. And because of this, he was ultimately exalted. Today we begin with a reference back to this and an encouragement to the Philippians to continue to be obedient as they have been in the past. This is the way for them to reach their ultimate goal, just as it was Jesus' way of glory. And that word continue is important. Being a follower of Jesus is ongoing. We can't just say that we're saved and that's that. We have to live out that new status in our lives. So far this summer, we've learned that we should be growing in our knowledge of Jesus and his love, trusting him through bad times and good, trying to become more like him with his attitude of humility. If we know ourselves to be saved and we're born again of the Spirit, then we have to grow and develop as Christians to serve God in the world, just as babies grow and develop. And Paul calls this ongoing journey working out our salvation, working out our salvation. It's not something we do of our own strength. It's something we do alongside and together with God, who gives us the will and the ability to do it. It's in recognizing our dependence on him that we have this feeling before him of what Paul calls fear and trembling. This is not terror. It's just awe at the difference that God can make in our lives and our abilities, and realizing that we really do need him to do what he asks us to do. We're not trying to serve God to earn our salvation. We can't do that. It's God's gift to us. We're serving because we believe that we are saved. And our faith has to be lived out in our lives. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And James says in his letter, "So faith without deeds is dead." We have to live out our faith. And following Jesus is an ongoing journey as we work out our salvation with God, as we grow as practicing Christians. But we're not alone in this. Our fellow Christians are all on the same journey. Some will be further along the road, some will be just starting out. But we're not alone. We journey in community. We're part of something bigger, part of the Church of Jesus Christ around the world, part of the Church of Jesus Christ here in Liberton, a church community all on the same ongoing journey. Paul loved the church community at Philippi. It welcomed him. It supported him when he had problems and when he wasn't there. He treasured their faith. He knew that a vibrant church community could support its individual members in their spiritual progress, and that it would have an impact on the society around it. It's interesting, when we're very aware of the Olympics, that Paul used the metaphor of a race for his life. But after all, Philippi is in Greece. Greece was the home of the Olympics and lots of other big games besides. And in the big cities, the gymnasium would be the hub of everything, not just for the athletes, but for all sorts of culture too. The philosophers would meet there to talk. Don't think the idea of a cultural Olympiad is new. Although whether they would have had a bouncy Stonehenge then, I'm not quite sure. Maybe not. But at the end of his life, which he knows might be soon, Paul doesn't want to find that all his hard work has been in vain. I'm sure we'll see a few personal disasters at the Olympics. People who just don't get out of the blocks, or who fall over the first hurdle. All that hard work, gone. Paul hopes he'll have something to show for his work in the ongoing service of his friends at Philippi. Their faith's leading them now to support him in prison, sacrificial giving, and he'll die happy if they continue on the same path. And he hopes that his friends there will rejoice with him, because that's part of being a Christian fellowship, rejoicing together. And Paul knows that a close fellowship can make an impact in the world. So he says there should be no complaining and no arguing. Clearly, there had been grumblings and wranglings going on. Paul knew that relationships matter. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he's dealing with a community where their people are taking each other to court over arguments. And he doesn't want the Philippians to go the same way. There's no room for such arguments in a Christian community. There has to be unity. There has to be mutual trust. They have to be seen as blameless and pure, children of God without fault. If they're living out their faith to the best of their ability, then they will have an impact on others. And everyone has to play their part. We all know one thoughtless remark, and you hear people saying that the church is a bunch of hypocrites. It just takes one. We're all part of a community, and we all have to work together. And if we're working out our salvation, if we're building relationships of trust, then the picture we present to the world will have an impact on others. Because it's different. As different as light is to darkness. We will be shining like stars in the universe. The world in Paul's time was to him a crooked and depraved generation. And reading that, we could be thinking that he's writing about the world today. The funny thing is that the people who read his letter then would know that he was picking words out of the Song of Moses about ancient Israel, centuries before their world. Things don't change. In that song, it says, they've acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. The people in Philippi would see it as special that they were now considered as children of God because of Christ's death and rising again. That would be special to them. They were back as children of God. We should think it's special too. That phrase, Easter people, means people for whom the resurrection brings home just what Jesus has done for each one of us. And if we behave in the way that news should make us behave, then we stand out from the world because we're different. Our light has an effect. Our behavior will have an impact on other people. When I first went to London from Newcastle, my first job was in an advertising agency, and it was a real eye-opener. Everything was geared to beating your competitors by whatever means. Ideas were stolen, things were copied, staff were poached and expected to bring information from previous employers. Everybody seemed to be having affairs with somebody's wife or husband. At every level, the place was corrupt, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And at least in hospitals where I ended up, there are sick people who tend to focus the minds of most people on better things. Not altogether, but it is better. But looking back, I see in that advertising agency a lot of the things which wreck our society today, make it as crooked and depraved as the society that Paul talked about. And that's the world where we witness, whether it's in offices, in hospitals, shops, restaurants, hairdressers, buses, trains, whatever. That's our world, that's our place, and that's where we witness. And wherever we are, we witness by being different. By being different, we shine as stars. Paul's words, as you hold out the word of life, came alive for me when Ken was here with the torch. Because it just struck me, hold on to Jesus, the light of the world. Hold on to Jesus and his gospel tightly. Just as you would hold on to a torch. And then hold it out for people to see. You're holding out nothing less than the word of life. Because light brings life. Life worth living. Life in all its fullness. I won't be the only one who's discovered a long-forgotten potato in a cupboard, which has a long, white, spindly shoot coming from it, doing no good at all, reaching for a little crack of light coming through the door. Plants need light to grow properly. We need the light of Jesus to grow and develop our inner being. Our world needs Jesus if it is to live productively and well. Can we bring to this world just a little of Jesus' life-giving light? What sort of a job do you think Liberton Kirk is doing at shining like stars in our society, holding out the word of life? I hope that when God looks at the lampstand, which is Liberton Kirk, he can see the light of Jesus streaming from it. We're on an ongoing journey. We're on it together. When you leave here today, remember that Jesus is with you. Jesus, the bringer of light and life to the world. He's with you. Hold on to him tightly and hold him out so that others will see and be drawn to him too. And you'll be shining like stars in your little bit of the world.